Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
There are a lot of times in our life that we come to moments where it's maybe a struggle or it's hard, whatever it might be. But let me tell you, the promises are yes and amen. And if we learn that praising through the storm and praising through the hard moments is exactly what we need, it's where we find rest. It really is. It might sound odd, but that's why the Bible actually talks about that as we commune with the Father, there's a transformation that starts to take place in our life. And it's because we begin to operate in a completely different way. There is the body, the soul, and the spirit, but really it should be the spirit, the soul, and the body. Because the truth is that learning to commune with God is really learning to allow the Holy Spirit to go before the wants and the needs of the body. It really is. It's why faith is so important. It's why the Bible tells us with faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. It takes a transformation of your mind to understand that regardless of the physical things that I see in front of me, with faith like a mustard seed, I can move this mountain. It really is the transforming of the mind. It's important for us. The communion, the one-on-one with God, the moment spent saying, God, I need you here, and I'm just going to listen. You don't even got to work hard. All you got to do is rest in His presence, and you will see that the way you see things begins to transform because now you're looking at things through God's eyes. The plan He's got for you, the promises He's got for you, the things He wants to place within you, the places He wants to take you, the gifts He wants to pull out, the life and life more abundantly that He promised the whole time. A lot of times we hold back the promises and the things that He has for us because we choose to make different decisions over what He's telling us. Woo! Come on, church. It's important. It really is to learn the difference between this is what I want and this is what God's telling me. Because obedience in those moments means finding something greater than we could have even imagined. It's faith. It's taking the steps, even when God, I don't see it, but I know you told me, and your promises are yes and amen. It's knowing that where He's taking you, He's not going to leave you. He's building you up to give you even more. He's strengthening you. He's placing the tools within your life, within your hands, for what you need to meet for what's still coming. He's given you victory already. If you got... I don't know who this is for, but if you got a bad report from the doctor, His promises are yes and amen. If you got something that just doesn't sit right with you because, God, I don't know what to do, know that His promises are yes and amen. Stand on the promises that He's given you. The Bible tells us that by His stripes, you have been healed. It's not a you will be or someday, sometime, somewhere. He paid the price already. It's a matter of taking hold of the promise He's given you. It's a matter of saying, God, regardless of what my body's saying, regardless of what I'm seeing, I know that You tell me that You have made me more than a conqueror, that by Your stripes I have been healed, that no weapon formed against me would prosper. Take the promises and stand on them because they're yours. Church, the books, the Bible that we have, it's called the bread of life for a reason. It's what you need. It's the sustenance. It's everything you need for what you have coming, for what's happening in your life, for what you're seeing. It's all of it. It covers every single part. God's not surprised by what's happening, and he's not surprised by what he's seeing. He knew it was coming before you even came to it, and he knows exactly what he has for you through it. A lot of times we are refined by the fire. It's not a bad thing. What you see as bad, know that God says all things work together for good. Because you love God and you know him and you are his child and he has all things for you.
Do you know that there's nothing better than you? He looks at you and he loves you and he wants to bring you to the fullness of what he has planned for your life. But there's blinders on your eyes and he wants to remove the blinders today. He says, I'm going to lift the blinders off your eyes that you can see his truth. So as he is speaking to you during worship, during the message, let the blinders come out. Let him see. There's some people that think that they're not worthy enough, that their conversation to God is more consistent. But the thing is, he says, I don't care. Jesus died so I can spend time with you. Jesus died because he loves you. Jesus died because he thinks that you are awesome. And because he's awesome as he is, so are you. So you're awesome too. So you got to look at yourself as being precious before him, that you are a God. We have a God that loves us and wants to be with us and wants to just hold us and just be there. I mean, it's not what we have done in the past. That is the past. He says, I am doing a new thing. So don't stick in your same ways. Know that he's doing a new thing. So as he does the new thing, he's taking the blinders off your eyes so you can see the new thing that's going on.
What a statement, huh? Nothing is better than Jesus. All the gold in the world, all the anything you could ever think of, all the beauty that he's created is still not better than him. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, have, of all your treasures, Lord, we are the most important to you, of all your treasures. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. And thank you, worship team. Just as every first Sunday of the month, we all take part in corporate communion. And so at this moment, the servers are going to be handing out the elements. And so we ask that you would just hold on to them until we've all been served and we'll all take communion together. I was told that sometimes there's two little guys on top of each other, two little cups. And sometimes people don't realize that there's two of them. And so they feel like they never got the little bread part of it. All they get is the liquid part of it. So anyway, take it apart. And there's two elements that you're going to be holding on to. And I tell you, sometimes it's not easy to take those two little guys apart either. So work out a little bit next time for next Sunday. And that way you can take them apart a little easier. But just a little bit more on the communion part is that, as I said, first Sunday of the month, we do it corporately. Every other Sunday, we have communion set up in the back of our church and with our tithe box and offering boxes back there. And we have the communion set up so that you can go with your husband, wife, your friends, whatever it is, and take it individually. We do give priority to taking communion in this church. It's important to us. And so when When that time comes next Sunday, you guys are welcome to go in the back and do so. So let's see if I can take my little guy apart. Hey, see, I worked out this morning. So at the Last Supper, as Jesus was with his disciples, he says that after giving thanks, that he took the bread and he gave that some of that bread to the disciples, and he told them that that this was his body. It represents his body that was broken, that was given for them. And something to think about is, as you think of the body, all this is to remind you of what Jesus did on that cross. This is a reminder. These are symbols. But the truth is that person that hung on that cross. And so when you look at these two elements, it's just to remind you that his body was broken. His body was abused just so that your body could be whole. And so please take the bread. In the same way, he took the cup. And he said to his disciples that this would represent the blood that he shed on that cross. And I always envision, and I've said this before, is that as he hung on that cross, from those crown of thorns that they placed on him, the blood began to shed. And those nails that they placed on his feet, the blood shed. Every part of Jesus, that blood was shed so that it could be a covering for your sins, our sins. And so today, whether it's the body, the blood, you know what the neat part about it is? He said, it is finished. I love that. That's my favorite part of the whole Bible. No, it's a lot of good favorites. But it is finished. Nothing for you to do. He did it all. So please take the cup. And just take a moment. Just take a moment and thank the Lord Jesus for what he did on that cross. And please just give those little plastic cups or so, pass them to the sides, and someone will be there to pick them up for you and be rid of them. All right. Well, some of you remember we didn't have church last week. And so I hope you're all a little bit hungry, not only for the worship, but the word, the fellowship. This church likes to have a lot of fellowship. We eat a lot here in this church. You couldn't tell by me, right? No. But it is good. It is good to be with your friends. It is good to be with your families. And so for a lot of you, thank you for being here this morning. I know a lot of you come to support us, and I appreciate that. Thank you. So, the title of my sermon today is When We Pray. And so, what happens when we pray? When we pray, demons flee. When we pray, mountains move. When we pray, the storms will calm. And when we pray, healing flows. When we pray, and most important, hearts are changed. So if you've been praying for someone and you've been wanting to see something different in the life of someone. Sometimes we get to the point that, hate to say it, but you get tired, right? You get tired of seeing the same things in the people that you love, and things aren't really changing. But it's not for us to discard these people. That's when you pray. You continue to pray for the changing of this person's heart. And not only for our families and not only for our friends, but I would sure you would agree that times such as now, our country could sure use a lot of prayer. Our leaders could sure use a lot of prayer. That they would submit to the will of God, not to their will. And so it's times like this, whether it's for somebody that's very close to you or for something that's just a national thing that sometimes we don't even know the people personally, but they're having an effect on the way that things are going in our lives. They still affect our lives. And so it's not to be saying nasty things about him. This is our time to shine. I think I said that last time. It's our time to shine. It's our time to lift these people and bring them before God. Lift them before God and let God change their hearts. God changes hearts, and that only happens through prayer. And so don't get rid of your family member. Don't get rid of your friend if you're not seeing some kind of evidence of good things happening. You just keep on praying. God is hearing you. So before I continue with my message, one of the things that I thought would be good is to kind of let you know how prayer fits into Sarita House of Worship. If you haven't noticed, we do things a little bit different in this church. And, you know, you've seen by the way we have the mic, we do things a little bit different. So people have asked us about altar calls. You know, do you ever have altar calls? And the answer to that is that we do. When the Lord leads, we will have altar calls. But it isn't like an every Sunday event. You know, just as the Lord leads us, we feel that sense that God is wanting us to do that, then we will have an altar call. There are some preachers, some visitors that have come, and, you know, that's like a normal thing for them. They will call the congregation up, and there's an altar call. So you will see these things, but it isn't something that we do at all times, only as the Lord leads. The other thing I wanted to mention is that many believe that they should not receive prayer from anyone except the pastors. You know, there's a lot of congregations that they want you to do that. They want you to have only the pastors be the ones that are praying over the congregation. And there are times where this holds true for us. So we are always available. We're always available if that needs. There's some times that we need some type of intimacy that you want only to share with one of the pastors. And so we are there. But our place is to encourage you to reach out to each other. We believe in the body ministry in this church. We want you to pray for each other. You know, other than the pastors having that title, we really don't have anything more than you guys do. God can bless what you're doing at the same way that he can bless what we're doing. So we have a prayer chain. And we have this prayer chain has a group of people that have committed themselves to pray as the requests come in. So if there is such a something that you need, you can call, as the bulletin says, you can call me or Pastor Henry and tell us about your issue. You can call us directly from wherever you are or who you are. Sometimes we'll get requests from people that even aren't part of our church. They're in other states, and somebody will tell them, and you know, we'll get calls from other places. And so we do have that type of intercession that goes on in this church. But one more time, and something that I've seen happening here is that you, as a body, I see you reaching out to each other. And so you don't always have to go through the prayer chain. You can go through those that are closest to you. Reach out to your friend, to your neighbor, whoever it may be that they would pray for you. And so it isn't always that you have to go kind of like through certain steps. There are people in this church that just love praying for you. And so whether it's through through the prayer chain or whether it's through your friend, reach out to somebody. Prayer is a priority here. And we want you to understand that as far as that goes, I felt that I needed to do that because I know there's a lot of people that that have not been here that long. And so I wanted just to kind of give you an idea of what we do, what we've done. One of the things that I just remembered that I need to do is also something we haven't done in a while, but we've had some night services. I don't know if some of you that have been here a while remember, but we were having some night services. About every quarter, we would have pretty much what you saw with the worship this morning. And so we would have a time that we would worship and praise and give testimonies. Being that it's nighttime, it's a little more freedom to not have like a certain time agenda. So we were able to just do things as the Lord led. And so it's another time that we can use to pray. Okay, so we're hoping that we can start doing that again. I loved it. And for some reason, it hasn't been able to come together for a while. So I believe that I would be free to say that everyone here has, in some form or another, has experienced the power of prayer. And something that maybe was life-changing and that you realize that the only way that this could have happened was through God. It wasn't something, some coincidence or something that just began. And so just as an example, I wanted to tell you about something for me personally. And all of us have hopefully at some point maybe received healing or prayed for healing. So one of my stories is that when I was 15 years old, I had a car accident. And in that car accident, I hurt my back. And I think some of you have already heard me touch on this before, but I hurt my back. And since then, like I said, I was 15. I was never okay. It took away a lot for me to be able to play sports or things such as that. But, you know, even at that, I missed a lot of work sometimes, not a lot, but some work because of the pain in my back. And so anyway, never took away the idea that I could still work and put food on my family's table, but I dealt with back pain for many, many, many years. When I was in my early 30s, mid-30s, we had started attending a church, which I had really never had been that type of church, but they actually believed in the gifts. They believed that that you could get healed. They believed in all the different gifts of the Spirit. And so, like I say, there was times that I would come from work and just enough to drag in. Wouldn't walk in the door, I'd drag in. And there was times that I remember having to get out of bed and literally roll out so that I could get on my knees and stand up and go to work, you know. So it wasn't fun. Anyway, this one day that I came home from work, and we had not really been in this church for that long, but we had heard about all this, and it's kind of neat to know that there was something that God was doing. And so I came in the door, and, you know, my wife, Stella, she saw how I was doing, and she goes, okay, that's it. Lay down on the carpet. And I had, my daughters were at that time 10 and 12, you know, were the ages of my daughters. And so she called my daughters to come, and she says, we're going to pray for your dad. And first time that I'd really been prayed for in that way, but they lay me down, and guess what? My wife didn't really pray, but it was my two girls that prayed. And all I heard was, Jesus, heal my daddy. Take away the pain. And, you know, it wasn't any of this, in the name of Jesus, you know, none of that. It was just all lots of love coming through my daughters. And pretty soon my back started quivering. And I felt like, okay, something's going on here, you know. And so my back started quivering, and I knew that something was going on. And so they stayed praying for me for a while. Like I said, it was really my daughters, my two girls that were praying. Stella was just kind of there, you know, laying hands on me. And so anyway, I knew something had gone on that day. Next day, I went to work and felt pretty good, but still. So I came back the next day, and this time here, I go, girls, come back. So I lay down on the carpet again, and I said, pray for me again. And so they did. Same idea, same prayers, you know, just nothing, you know, no pretty words coming through, just heal my daddy. And guess what? It started quivering again. And so that time there, I just felt that something had really, really totally happened. And you know that I was about, what, 34 at that time? I'm in my mid-70s now. I have never had a back pain again in my life. And so, you know, a long story just to say that, you know, the healing didn't come from all this stuff that sometimes we learn, you know, that we have to do things a certain way and at the right time. And all that, the healing came through the love of my daughters. And I think that's why, if we could kind of learn from that, that just when you pray for somebody, just let God love them. You know, it's not you anyway, right? That's doing this thing. And so what do you have that you can give that only God can give through you? And that's his love. And so just all that to say that, you know, I was healed. And if you know, I can never say that God doesn't heal, because I am proof of that. And I'll share a little bit later, but there's other things that I still deal with. But my back was hurt, was healed. And my daughters, they just did what was in their heart. So thank you, Jesus. Prayer, as I said, there's a lot of power that comes through prayer. And that's really a lot of it we focus, you know, when somebody prays for healing. There's power in those prayers as the healing is taking place. But even a greater purpose that prayer has is that it gives us the privilege, and Rebecca brought that up earlier, there's a privilege in being able to commune with the creator of the universe. We can come before God and just chat with him. He wants to, even if it's some of the simplest things, he wants to hear them. Doesn't always have to be some kind of a catastrophe that's happening in your life. He wants to hear those small things that you might think he still wants to hear him. And not only that, he wants you to tell him how beautiful he is, and there's nothing better than him. He wants that time, that specific time with you. And so even greater than the power is that the privilege of communing with God. And it is through that, through those prayers that God can intervene. You know that there's a lot of things that sometimes are with us, and we're just not asking him to come into our lives and intervene, and we're just thinking that it's just something we have to walk through. And the word says that you have not because you ask not. And there are things that you haven't brought before the Lord, and he's just waiting for you to ask. And when I wrote this down as I was praying about today, I really felt that it wasn't just something to share with the church, but that this is a word for somebody specific today. And I'll read it again. It says, you have not because you ask not. And there are things that you haven't brought before the Lord, and he's just waiting for you to ask. So if that is you, if that's something that fits in your life today, God can't move until you ask him. He's just not going to come in and invade what you want, who you are, unless you ask him. Our God is a gentleman. And we have that. We can have the boldness to come before him and ask him for even the simplest things. Our prayers should always be in agreement with the will of God. And though he wants to give us the desires of our heart, he is not to be used as a wish-granting genie and just given a shopping list with all our wants. You ever feel like you do that with him? You know, there's no time to just hang out with him and really come before him. But, you know, you pull out your 10 things that you need for the day and, okay, Jesus, give me, I need money for food. I need to go see whatever. And it feels more like you're just doing that. You're just giving him a list for him to take care of for you. That's not the way he wants to commune with us. That's not the way we're supposed to be. And yet there are things in our hearts that he does want to. He wants to give you the desires of your hearts. You know, think of what father, what daddy doesn't get their hearts lifted just to see a smile from your son or daughter or grandson or whatever it is. You know, you give him something and, you know, it's like, whoa, it really blesses us when we give. And that's our father. Our father is a giver. And whenever he, you know, we might think that, you know, that's too minimal for me to ask God. No, it's not. He wants from the biggest thing that's up here to the smallest little item, he wants to take care of you. And so just know that he will fill the desires of your heart, but he wants you to really expose your heart to him. Most answers to our prayers come during those intimate times. And that's what I was just mentioning now. The answers come through those intimate times when it's just you and him. Times when we can truly expose our hearts, whatever they are, even if you feel like they're, maybe it's not something that is very, very proud of to bring before God. But guess what? He already knew, right? He already knows what's there. He already knows the things that are hindering you. He already knows the things that maybe you have some type of guilt or condemnation, things that are not of him. He already knows those things. And so when you come before him and you lay your heart on that table, you're saying, Lord, there it is. your will be done. And that's what he wants. You want to see prayers answered? Put your heart on that table. Open it up to him and watch those blessings just come forth. So, finally, my first scripture. And this is Acts, and I'm going to read 4, verse 5 through 15. And so this is right after the Holy Spirit had come upon the disciples at Pentecost. Peter had given a very powerful sermon. The numbers were just being added to the church. A lame man had just been healed through Peter. Great things were happening right after the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And here's Peter, the guy that had denied Jesus, now couldn't stop talking about him. And because of that, him and John get thrown in jail for doing the things that they were doing and speaking the way they were speaking. So, all right. So this is where it starts on verse 5. It says, "The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Sophias, John, Alexander, and other of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." So here Peter and John just got released from jail for speaking like, just like what they did here. And you look at it, in the past, Peter would have cowered down from anything that had to do with Jesus. He was the one that denied Jesus. And so here he is. You would think that he would be, that he would think maybe he could throw in jail again for speaking in the same manner that he was prior to being thrown in jail. But instead, this is a new man, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with new boldness and courage. And then from this point on, we see a Peter that would never be as he was. We see a new man. We see someone that, even if you look back at the things that he did, like a lot of us, right? How many can remember, there's still memories up here, of who we were before the Holy Spirit came, before we met Jesus, before we finally said, there's something better. I don't know, that sounds perfect today. There is something better than where you were, what you were doing. And a lot of, I know for myself, I even look at pictures of myself as to who I was. I don't think I'd recognize that guy if I saw him on the street. I'm a new man. And you see Peter here, he's a new man. Things have changed. The things that were important back even when he was following Jesus are now, they don't have that big of a hold on him. He's free, he's strong, he's courageous. And he really doesn't care what happens to him. Probably throw him back in jail. And as we see it throughout the scriptures, a lot of these guys wound up dying for Jesus, dying as martyrs or however you want to look at it. They all, the cause to spread the word was stronger for them than anything that could have happened. It's like I say, what's the worst that can happen? They die and they're with Jesus, right? Win-win. So let's go on with verse 13. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So, as you see with this part of the scripture here, the people that Jesus chose, these people were chosen to change the world, were people like you and me. Just everyday people. In this case, most of them were fishermen, but there were people like you and me, and Jesus took them and changed their lives, and those guys went out, and we wouldn't probably be sitting here if these men wouldn't have paved the way for us to be here today. Those men, like when you look at the Church of Acts, I mean, you see all those great things happening back then. Just as when Jesus walked on earth, there were healings taking place. You could see him calming storms. I mean, there was miracles, signs and wonders as Jesus did things. Well, these guys went on to do the same thing. And, you know, you see the numbers, like it says, everything you read there is it added 3,000, it added 5,000. That church grew quickly. And that was only because these people, these apostles that Jesus had chosen, they were not depending on themselves. It says that they were unschooled, ordinary men. You know? I guess they didn't go to Harvard or they didn't read all the big books and all that. And not that there's anything wrong with being knowledgeable and knowing and being educated. But these guys were just people like us sitting in this church today. And so just as they had everything they needed. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they had been with Jesus. That's pretty much all we need. We are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are filled with Jesus. And through prayer, we can be with Jesus. We can read his word. We can pray to him. And those are the times that you can say that you are with Jesus. And so we are no different than they were then. And so we have all that we need so that it is our time maybe to change the world. And you think, how can we do that? You know, there's bigger voices out there than ours, right? Well, these guys are only 12 guys, and their voice sure made a big difference. And nowadays, even with the way that our medias are and so forth, your voice may be the one that's going to touch someone. And so don't shrink back with thinking that you don't know how to pray, I'm too timid or I'm too shy to go and lay my hands on somebody or give them a word. Whatever it is that God wants to do through you, don't be intimidated. Those are things that come only from the enemy. You are worthy. You are worthy to, as it says here, by what name do you do this? We do it in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how we are worthy. We have the boldness and the courage to be. It sure isn't because in the name of John Valero. Because I have nothing to give other than what I'm given by him. And so for all of you, just know that there is a spirit that gives you power and that is ready for you to just let him flow through you. And don't be held back. Jesus taught all his disciples well, and we should also benefit by learning from the healing ministry of Jesus. So I want to share about three scriptures that have to do with some of Jesus's healings. And so the first one is going to be Mark 24-34. Okay. So starting with verse 24, and it says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him. This is Jesus, and like always, you know, he's in demand. He's walking through cities. He's walking through crowds of people, and, you know, people have heard about him, so there's always people around him. It says, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. And yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. Can anybody kind of relate to this, you know? There are things that go on in our bodies that it's a constant, you know, constant going to the doctor, constant go into the medicine cabinet or whatever it is that, you know, and nothing really seems to change. And so a lot of this thing is like, how long do you go with the things that are going on in your body? And this lady is like, you know, 12 years. Sometimes we go through things for 5 or 2 years or 2 days, and it seems like a lifetime. But it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. You notice that up to this point, you know, a lot of the healings that Jesus does, it's always looking at the people or laying their hands on them or whatever. This time here, it was this lady that it says, if I could just touch any part of him, if I could just touch his cloak, and she got healed. And here's Jesus, you know, he goes on to say, at once, Jesus realized that power has gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? And, you know, we see that in another scripture where Peter's shadow, people would just, if I could be under Peter's shadow, I could get healed. Well, these things are, there's an anointing in people, and to think that, you know, just a touch what Jesus wore, just a touch, even if we brushed by and you say, if I could just touch him, I know I'm going to be good. I know I'm going to be healed. And so this is where we are. And a lot of these stories, that scriptures that I'm going to read, you can place yourself in the place of the recipient, you know, the person that is receiving. Or also place yourself even in the place of Jesus, if you're the one that's going to be praying for someone or going out somewhere where people might want to come up to you and just say, if you would just pray for me, I know that I'll get healed. Whatever the case may be, then that you can see it from both sides. So let's go on. Let's see, where am I? Verse 30. Says, you see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be free from your suffering. 12 years. And all it took is one touch of the garment of Jesus. Can you imagine some of the things that we've been praying for years and years and years? And if we could just find that place to where we find Jesus, where we touch him, and he says he felt power come out of him. That's where we got to go. We got to get to that place that we touch his heart and his heart of compassion, his heart of empathy, and he wants us to be healed. He doesn't want us sick. He doesn't want nobody in this place to be sick. Sickness is not of God. And so when we start facing these things, it's to find Jesus. Find him in the Word. Find him in your prayers. Take a walk. Go find him out in the woods or in the desert, whatever it is that you go. Just find a place that you can say, Jesus, I'm here. All I need is to touch you. He wants you well. Let's go on to another one. This is Mark 7. Mark 7, 31 through 35. I'm going to read, starting with verse 31. It says, then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre. Again, these are all, Jesus is going everywhere. And went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of Decapolis. There, some people brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. And after he took him aside, away from the crowd, and I wanna just make a little comment on that. You'll see this a lot on a lot of the healings of Jesus. It's always, he might get somebody, and if there's a big crowd, he says that he takes them aside, or he takes them, he says he walked out of the city, whatever it is. But sometimes he needs to separate that person that he's going to pray for from many others. And one of the things that you'll see in the Word is that one of Jesus' worst enemies in his healing ministry was unbelief. If people didn't believe, you know, there's another scripture that says that he couldn't do much of anything there because of the unbelief. So if people don't believe, it's a hindrance to the healing that Jesus wants to do anyway. And so he takes this guy and he says he took him aside away from the crowd. And then Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. And then he spit and touched the man's tongue. Now, I often think about something like that, and if you're put yourself in the place of Jesus, how bold are you to tell somebody, I'm going to spit and I'm going to spit on your tongue? You know, you think about some of the ways that that Jesus did these things. You know, why? Who cares? The guy, he'll get healed. But he put his fingers in his ears, and then pretty soon he spit and touched his tongue. And then it says he looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And at this, the man's ears were open, his tongue was loosened, and began to speak plainly. So, you know, like you look at this particular way that he did it. And like I said, there will be other times that he just does something different. And I wonder, you know, why he does that. But that's what he was sensing from the Father. He said that he did only what the Father said. And so, I don't know. I don't know how good I'd be at that, you know, if I could do those kind of things. But what if the Holy Spirit puts in your heart to do something that drastic? Would you do it? Jesus did it. You could say, well, that's Jesus. You know, think about it. At that time, Jesus was just another man, another preacher, another person walking. So the people that he encountered, they were getting to know him because of his miracles and so forth, but he was just another man, just like us, just like us. So let's go to Mark 8:22. It says, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. See, there's another one. Another one. Get him away from the crowd. Get him away from unbelief. You come with me, you know. You believe, I believe, you're going to get healed. When he had spit, here we go. And when he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? Okay, so back on the eyes again. Takes his hands off his eyes and says, do you see anything? And he says, he looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. So you look at this and you go, this is Jesus. Most of the time, he just man a few words, right? What does he say? You know, be quiet, stand, walk. You know, very, very man of very few words, you know, that when it came to healing. And so, but most of the time he would do it, and that would be the end of it. Here, it says that he prayed again. And so it says, once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. And then his eyes were open. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. So Jesus prays twice. A lot of times I think that some of the things that you see there are really for our understanding. And, you know, you think about it, he didn't leave that guy without finishing the job. The man was still able to see. But the fact that Jesus prayed twice kind of gives us, sometimes we may pray and we don't see the evidence right that moment. But we're not to stop. We pray until we see the final evidence, and that's the man or the woman healed. And does it take one session? Sometimes I know I pray for people a lot more than twice. But I think it gives us permission to say, okay, Jesus had to pray twice to see the man be healed. Well, it's really not for us to be saying, well, if Jesus prayed twice, then that means I'm just going to keep on praying. And sometimes we can give ourselves an excuse why things don't happen. We can say, well, it's not God's timing. It's not whatever the case may be. We shouldn't go into a prayer session or whatever thinking that something's not going to happen then, but it could happen tomorrow or the next day. Jesus' prayers were for the moment. He went and he spoke to whatever that was at that moment, and he expected for an outcome to be a positive outcome. You know, sometimes Jesus rebuked evil. Sometimes he forgave their sins. Other times, just a touch. He spit. He made mud. He had different ways of going about through his healing ministry. But people were healed. However he did it, however the Father led him, he did only what the Father said, but healings took place, miracles happened. Jesus did only as the Father said. And in the same manner, that's for us to also. We are to be led by the Spirit. And like I said, I don't know, sometimes if we maybe don't go as far as where the Spirit is leading us, because maybe spitting on somebody's tongue isn't where we're at. I don't know. But what if? That's just a good question. What if? And it's not something for you just to go try to see if it works. Let's go to James. Okay, where are you, James? Okay. This is James, and I'm going to read 6 through 8. And it says, "But when you ask, you must believe and have no doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. And that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." I wanted to just bring that out because this is something that Jesus wasn't. There wasn't no plan B when it came to what Jesus did. When he went out, when he set out to go and pray for someone or to bring, you know, speak healing to someone, whatever it was that he did, you know, the part that that comes to mind more is when he brought Lazarus from the dead. You know, he was already far away from Lazarus, and he just he knew that this was going to happen. He had already gotten with the Father, and whatever he did, he said, was for the glory of the Father. And so it wasn't no, like, I hope it works. He knew it was going to work. He knew that Lazarus would come from the dead, that he would rise. And so just all that to say is that that's where that doubt or unbelief, if that's something that is ours, that's where we need to get away from. We need to come to a place that we don't have any doubt, that we don't have any unbelief, that we are not double-minded. Maybe this will work. Maybe it won't. Maybe I'll see a little bit, but maybe not the whole picture. We got to go, and we've got to assure, convince that mind of what the Spirit already knows. Convince that mind. So now we've been talking about praying for others. So my next question is, how many pray for yourself? Do you ever pray for yourself? Now I know that some of you know what preventative maintenance is. Have you ever heard of that term? Preventative maintenance, I know a lot of the guys in the mines and in the industries would know what that is. But preventative maintenance, that's when you fix something before it's even broke. It's an example. The one example is like changing the oil in your car. One simple little task that can prevent a major issue. Change the oil in your car and that engine might run for you for a long, long time. And throughout the years, most of us have abused our body. You know, a lot of us, as I said earlier, you know, I wouldn't recognize that guy, but a lot of us back in the day, you know, we maybe smoked, drank a little bit of alcohol or maybe too much alcohol, even played hard. You know, some of us when we're young, we know we can run and jump and doesn't matter if the job we have is like a jackhammer and you're out there all day, hey, you know, but we can handle it. And so a lot of times our bodies get abused and it's things that maybe we chose to do. Some of those things maybe we had to do because that was our job. And so I know for a fact my body, my body needs a lot of preventive maintenance. Eventually, thinking that I was invincible didn't quite go there. But that's where prayer comes in. And a little bit earlier, I mentioned about my wonderful healing story. Well, it wasn't long after that my back got healed. I was playing volleyball, and I popped my right knee. And so for a while, I wore a brace and a limp and on and on. Well, I'm mentioning that just to say that to this day, sometimes that guy decides that he wants to say hello to me. You know, still wind up if I walk too much or whatever, it starts giving pain. And I'm sure there's some of you that have other issues maybe that you deal with. And it just, these things are just just a part of what happens. And so the point being is that also my back is healed. My knee is not. You figure it out, right? But the point is that if we let these pains, the knees, and maybe some of you still do have backs or whatever it is because of the different things that we put our bodies through, we wind up having these things that let us know that our bodies will face limitations. You know, things happen, especially as time progresses. But the spirit within us doesn't recognize those limitations. You know, I know that my body's saying, you know, can we hang out at home today? And my spirit's going, uh-uh. We ain't going to do that, buddy. You know, we're moving. We're doing. And so the pains in our bodies may be real. The thoughts of family and financial issues in our mind may be real. And yet we allow these things to be magnified and steal our joy. How often do we start worrying about the things of the day, and or even, as I said, the hurts in our body? And pretty soon, it's like, you know, what happened to joy? What happened to smiles for the day? It takes away those joys. And the spirit within us that doesn't recognize these issues wants to tell our body and our mind to just shut up. Just shut up, because this guy here is going to try to convince us that we should stay home, that we shouldn't move, that we shouldn't go. And that spirit within us is saying, no, don't listen. This is a time for us to draw from that inner strength that is within us, that strength that can come only from the Holy Spirit. So what do? You speak blessings to your body. How do you start your day? You know, first thing, you open your eyes and, you know, still laying in bed, you open your eyes. Is your mind going to saying, okay, I got to go do this, do that, do this, do that? You get so many things that you're already planning for the day, and yet you never once said, thank you, Lord, that I'm awake. Thank you, Lord, that I can breathe this day. Thank you, Lord, that I am going to move, that I'm going to do things this day, and I'm not going to allow anything to take me down. And the other thing is, when you open your eyes, if there is a problem, see yourself healed. Envision yourself. If there's an issue, like I said, you're a limper or whatever it is, don't see yourself that way. See yourself walking right. See that healing that has come through you. If there's things that you've dealt with for, like that lady, for 12 years, don't look at those 12 years. See yourself today and say, I choose to be healthy. I choose to receive that healing that you set for me. Have an expectation of your day, of a good day, of a beautiful day, of a great day. Expect your day to be joyful. If you wake up and you, like I said, You're expecting that just because yesterday something nasty happened, it's going to be a version two of yesterday. You've just accepted another lousy day instead of saying, that's gone. Today, Lord, this is good. This is a good day. Speak against those things that harass you. Really, a lot of the stuff, like I said, the knee or whatever it is, they're just harassments. They may be there, but they're harassing you. And the more you recognize it and the less attention you place to those pains, the less they're going to bother you. Eventually, they will shut up. But you have to go with taking the focus off of the things that are bringing afflictions. And when your eyes, it says, set your mind on things above. And so when your eyes are on Jesus, then all is well. All is well. I've got one more. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. And here it is. It says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Can we do that? Now, sometimes it seems with everyday lives that it is hard to rejoice always. But if you believe part of God's word, you need to believe this. This is God's will. That we rejoice, we pray in all circumstances. I've got a couple more things that I wrote down and that I just want to put. Don't tell Jesus about your problem. He already knows. Tell your problem about Jesus. You can spend more time rebuking the devil than the time you spend thanking God for keeping him away. And the last one is, God is faithful even when we are not. And because he is, it leads us to want to be. I've got one more thing that I'd like to do, and I've been praying and asking God about this, and I mentioned earlier about altar calls. And I think what I'd like to do, and again, it may be uncomfortable for some of you because you're not used to it, but I would encourage you to take part in this. And so what I would like you to do is get into groups of four. Different, right? Get into groups of four, preferably not your family, but if you need be, then do so. But get into groups of four and find yourself a little spot throughout the church and pray for each other. You don't have to spend hours. Just if there's a need, ask one of the other three to pray for you. If there's no need, ask them to bless you. Just speak a short blessing over somebody. And when you're done, as you're done, you're dismissed. God bless you. But please, this could be the time that you are. You want to say something? Okay. Hold on. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Just want to confirm your message.
Oh.
This is on, right? I was diagnosed with bladder cancer, and it was all inside my bladder. And my wife would lay hands on me daily, you know, and she would pray a specific prayer that it would not leave the inside of my bladder and go through my body. She prayed that my bladder would thicken. So I went and had a scan down here recently, and the bladder was 3 centimeters thick. But when they scanned it, it was 9 centimeters thick. Nothing left my bladder. Praise God for my wife laying her hands on me every day.
Amen.
My wife right now is suffering with what do you call it when you can't feel your feet and your hands? Neuropathy.
Neuropathy.
Really bad. So if you can remember her in prayer this week, today, You know, please pray for my wife.
Thank you.
Thank
John.
You. God answers prayer.
And this is, I really, really feel that God wants to do something this morning. You can just ignore it and go home, or you can get in groups of four and see what he has for you. When you're done, you're dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.